Good evening. I hope you had a good day and a good dinner. Now I begin tonight with a question. Do you know our God is more anxious to answer our prayers than we are to pray to Him? This question may surprise you, and I hope you remember this, that God is always anxious to hear from you, to hear you pray. The problem is not with God, but with us. We do not pray enough. Our prayer too often is too insipid and meaningless. Think of these questions. Daniel's prophecy, chapter 6. We heard the first two verses read. Now, it pleased Darius, or Darius, as some would prefer to pronounce it, to set over the kingdom. At this point, I interrupt you. Do you realize there is a change in regime? We've been talking about Nebuchadnezzar, the king. Now suddenly it changes to Darius, the king. What has happened? In order to understand this, you got to read the last two chapters. Do this on your own, but I just briefly tell you what is in those two chapters. Firstly, there was the king that we are so accustomed to read. When we first read about the prophecy and the adventures of Daniel, suddenly there's a change. What has happened? The king Nebuchadnezzar was king over Babylon. And Babylon is a country in history, most powerful at that time, that it conquered the kingdom of Israel and took from Israel a number of captives as well as the contents of the temple. I took them all back to the country of Babylon. Now, did I mention that we were talking about the country of Babylon? This was not the country of Babylon we are talking about, but the country of, I'm sorry, I have a mind blank out. So here is, suddenly you ask, what happened to the previous country whose king was Belshazzar, and the grandfather of Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar? If you turn to chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar, to all the people and nations and languages, peace be multiplied unto you. He was the king, but he became so proud that he forgot about God altogether. And God sent him a disease of the mind, that he began to act as an animal, as a beast of the field, so much so that he lost his reason and he was driven away from civilization and he lived in the forest. So much so that Belshazzar, the grandson, became the king. So this is the beginning of chapter 5. Now, when Belshazzar became the king, he celebrated with a feast. Not that he did not know God, but he did not give glory to God. And he was celebrating his great honor and success with a great party. 1,000 of his higher-ups, all his cronies and his friends and the royalty and the big shots. Now, when he had this party, over 1,000, he forgot all about God. And it is in these circumstances that God began to intervene in his life. Please look at Daniel chapter 5. For while they were celebrating and rejoicing in a godless manner, suddenly a hand appeared on the wall and began to write. And what is the writing? If you look at verse 25, this is the writing that was written on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel, uphazin. The meaning of this is that God hath numbered and weighed thy kingdom in his balance and find it short of his expectation and is finished. However, no one could interpret it until they sent for Daniel, and Daniel came and read the mysterious sentence that was written on the wall. From here, we get the saying, the writing on the wall. You get it? This is commonly spoken. The writing on the wall. It is the sentence being passed upon the regime of I'm sorry, as I said, my mind is gone blank. So there was Belshazzar celebrating, and the writing on the wall says, you are finished. Your kingdom is no more. And that night, he was defeated in battle and came in the victorious general called, and the king was called Darius. This is the beginning of chapter 6. Now let us read the whole chapter. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes. What are princes here? More or less like royalty, smart people. And he set over, he was a newcomer. He has taken the trouble to find the best administrators, 120 princes over the kingdom. Verse 2, and over these three presidents, whom Daniel was the first. Then, this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. You see, there were three, and they presided over 120. As it were, you may call them the MPs, except they were not elected, but appointed by the king. Who was the king? Darius. Now, Daniel was preferred because he was the smarter fellow who was in touch with God, and they knew. The other three and the rest knew that Daniel was the man to be the chief of the three. Verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Verse 5 then said these men, who were angry and jealous of Daniel, since they could find no fault with him, they began to scheme. We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. What was the law of his God? They knew this Daniel was a godly person who spent time in prayer and who was not afraid to pray publicly in the full view of the people. Verse 7, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute. That is a new law. And to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of God or man for 30 days, except of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, these are the scheme. They put their heads together and said, how can we trap this man, Daniel, that he will be finish him? No way that he can escape. What was the scheme of these jealous people? Let us get the king to sign a new law. This new law says, if you have any petition, you must not pray to God or anyone else. You must put it in paper and write to the king himself, King Darius. This is our petition, and send it to him for 30 days. That was a trap in which the king himself could not say no, because it was to honor him and to ensure that there was loyalty among the people. Now let's see what happens. Verse 8. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. For the first time now we read of the country in which this was happening. The country and the law of Medo-Persia was now being enforced in this place. Verse 9, wherefore, King Darius, sign and the writing And this became law, became a decree. For 30 days, no one was to pray if he had a request to send it to the king. And the king will consider the request. The target of this new law was Daniel. Let's see if Daniel is daring enough to pray. What do you think? I want to ask you another question, dear friends. Do you know that God is very anxious for all His people to pray? And not only just to pray, but to pray in faith, expecting that God will answer you. Do you know this? On the first night, I said to you, when I went away for studies, and I live in a place called Belfast, I determined in my own heart that I will spend time in prayer every day. And to ensure that I did it consistently, I kept a notebook every day. I forget for how long, but at least for 1 or 2 months. That little logbook was the way that it caused me to be regular and faithful in prayer. Did any of you do this? I won't ask you to indicate to me, but I'm asking you a question that you know best to answer. For God is waiting, expecting you to be in communication with Him, and He will answer your every prayer. I give you 2 verses. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious or careful for nothing, but in everything that bothers you, present it to the Lord in prayer. But in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the result is the peace of God which passeth all understanding. You cannot understand it. You cannot understand how, after prayer, there is peace in your heart, how God answers your prayer in the ways you do not know. But the Word of God says, be careful. Be not anxious and worried about anything. Do you have any problem in your life? This is the answer. God says it, and you do it, you find that He is faithful. Now, verse 10. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his own house, and with the window open, in the chamber open towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day in full view of the outside public and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime, as he was wont to do, as he was accustomed to do. Are you accustomed to praying? Tonight's lesson is on prayer, that God, whom we love and worship and serve, is a prayer-answering God. He is more anxious to hear from you than you are to spend some time to talk to Him. Remember this. Verse 11, together please. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Ah, Daniel has fallen into the trap which they had placed before him. What trap was this? No one is to make any petition to anything except to Darius the king. And that is to send it to him. Not to pray or to do anything else, except this man, Daniel. Now, dare you be a Daniel? Again, I ask you the question. Dare you be a Daniel in faithful praying every morning? To spend time in quiet, talking with God about your needs and your wants, and expecting God to answer you, but more important, to be in fellowship, and you in fellowship with God. This is the meaning of prayer, even as your heart is warmed. When you see your 3-year-old child come seeking on you, seeking for your company in the morning, I recall this in my own life. My little daughter of 3 years old came knocking on the door. I said, "Who is that? Come in." And there she appeared. And I asked her, "What is the matter?" "Oh, Papa, can I come and sit on your lap and talk to you?" Ah, that is a picture of you coming to approach God in prayer. Did you ever do this? I keep asking you so that you will not forget that there is a God, our God, the one whom we adore and we love and worship, who is waiting in the morning, last thing at night, for you to approach unto him. Even as Daniel was daring and willing and not afraid that anyone should see him, he would open his windows as usual and face to Jerusalem as a sign of his own devotion to the house of God there. Are you? Do you have this kind of devotion, dear friends? Because God, who is at the other end of the line, as it were, waiting to hear from you. But the problem is, too often we do not take the trouble to pray to him. Try it from tomorrow morning or from tonight and see if there is a difference in your life. Verse 12 now. So here is Daniel fallen into a trap. The enemies came to the king and said, "Now this man Daniel has continued to break the law. It is now law, and within 30 days we can see him every day breaking the law." What law? Oh, dear friends, understand. Today we have total freedom, and the Lord is waiting for us to speak to him, except we don't use that freedom or neglect it to our own loss. Verse 13. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. He breaks the law 3 times a day. What shall we do with it? The law says anyone who breaks the law will be thrown into the den of lions. Have you ever been into the zoo and there see the wild animals? Tiger is more commonly seen in Malaysia and Singapore. But the lion is equally wild and harmful. Have you been to the zoo? Have you ventured near to the zoo, which allows animals to roam freely? Or have you been into a cage of lions before? I'm almost sure, is no. Who dares to go into a lion's den? Verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was so displeased, very unhappy with himself for ever making that law, which penalized this man Daniel, whom he loved, because Daniel was such a wonderful man. He was so displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel, how to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Here is a real affection and attachment of the king to Daniel. Who was Daniel in his eyes? In the eyes of the law, he was only a captive, one of those exiled from his home when the army of Nebuchadnezzar came into Jerusalem. They rounded up a number of young people, including Daniel, and took them away. Verse 15, then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know this, O God, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is, there is no decree nor statute which the king establisheth which may be changed. O king, please understand, your law is binding on you, even on you, to carry it out. If the law says anyone who prays to anyone else, except to the king himself, he is liable to go to the den of lions. Are you now going to do it, O king? Oh, no, it is you who made it, and you have the power and the obligation now to send this man Daniel to the lion's den. Verse 16, so there was Daniel put into the lion's den, and here was a king who was so sorry for Daniel that he ever made this such a law, that into which Daniel, his favorite, had fallen, a victim of his own law. Verse 17, and to secure that Daniel will not escape, a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the lion's den, and the king sealed it with his own seal and with the seal of his lords, that the purpose must not be changed concerning Daniel. Daniel was to go into the cave, into the den of lions. Have you seen a picture of that? Oh, dear friends, there are many paintings, and in the books of the martyrs, you will see it. How these men, the poor victims, are being torn to pieces and eaten alive by the lions. Verse 18. Yet the king couldn't sleep, and he refused any kind of entertainment, including the orchestra that regularly comes to play for him. Play Sweet Lullaby or whatever it is. No more. For that night, he spent it in quiet meditation and thinking of who? Daniel. Oh, my Daniel, where is he? Do you know that God will be so concerned for you if you fall into such a situation? How much do you think of God? Now, let's see how attached the king Darius was to Daniel. He set his affection on him because he knew he was an innocent man. He was a good man. His reputation has spread, has gone to King Darius. Verse 19. Then the king rose up, not early in the morning, but very early in the morning. Very early. I don't know what his normal waking time is. Maybe 7 o'clock. But for that morning, could be 6, could be 5 a.m. Then he went to the lion's den and went in haste unto the den of lions. In haste. In other words, he was so keen to know, how is my Daniel doing? With the lions, did he manage to sleep at all, or is he already digested in the stomach of the lions? What has happened? Do you know that our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think? God is able. Are you trusting? Verse 20. He asked a question. Daniel, poor thing, poor you. Was your God able to deliver you? Did he hear your prayer? What do you think? Oh, dear friends, please let us all develop that affection and relationship with our God, to know he cares for you and me as a child of his. He cares for you, and he will see to it that every need of you or yours will be met. If you should ever go into such a situation, he'll be there to protect you. Here the king asks, was the God whom you serve able to deliver you from the lions? Then the answer came. Then said Daniel, from the cave of the lions, the den of the lions, O king, long live the king. This is what we all say. The times when I was in school, when we were part of the British colony, we would say, we sing, God save our queen, or God save our king, and long live the king. Whenever it is a public holiday, this is what we say, or the king's birthday, Empire Day, and other big days. We'll say, long live the king, or queen, whoever is ruling. Here, Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. I am here unharmed. God has protected me from the lions, and my one thought is, may God bless you, O king. Verse 22-23. Together, please. My God has sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth. They have not done hurt to me. Ah, what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. Back to my first question. How much time do you spend in quiet, in secret with your God? No one can answer that question except you. You know it. Whether you are spending that time or not, if you do not, it's to your own loss. If you do, you begin to cultivate and to develop a relationship with God, which is to your benefit, to your advantage, to your blessing, as long as you are faithful. So here he says, O king, I have done no wrong. and I have done no hurt to anyone. Why should they do this to me? But he did not actually say that, implying that how evil and how wicked the enemy is. Verse 23, let's read together. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den. Did God do anything else? Yes. He closed the mouths of the lions. Do you know that God can do that? And he can do it to any wild animal? Any wild animal who is imperiling or threatening your safety and life, he's able, even the animal of a motor car, for example. Yes, you have escaped being run over, being knocked down by a motor car or some other vehicle. Can God do his part to help you, to save you? Verse 23-24. And the king commanded that they brought those. Here is the retaliation that comes back to those who cause Daniel to be thrown into the den of lions. All those people. Then the king commanded, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, not only the men, their children, their wives. Oh, how awful, how horrible. But it was the law in those days, and so it is. And they break all their bones in pieces. Ever they came at the bottom before they came at the bottom of the den. Please understand, they are not well fed, the lions, but these are the meals offered to them. And therefore, even before the men and women and children have fallen into the floor, the lions are at them already, tearing them to pieces. Verse 25. Then the king Darius wrote to all the people, the nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, as far as his dominion extended, he wrote to them, peace be multiplied to him. I make a new law that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. God of Daniel is the one true living God, your God and my God. And I say again, you will not forget it. This God is for you. But you must never forget him. And pray to him, speak to him, and be clean and clear in your own life that he cannot find fault with you. Verse 27. He delivereth and rescueth, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Who are these people? The kings, the rulers, the top men of Persia. First Darius, then Cyrus. Do you know that Cyrus was a friend of the Jews and how he helped them also? Dear friends, we end tonight's lesson. May you, even between now and bedtime, remember the Lord who remembered you first, remembered me first, remembered all of us. And He is our God. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. I give you the two verses again. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Now let's read it together. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Verse 6, if you have found it, read it together with me. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, this is verse 7, have you found it? Together, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. May you find our God a real strength, source of comfort and strength, and abiding presence with you is promised. Only seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. God bless you.